Well, last night, the current governor of Massachusetts, Governor Deval Patrick, fired up delegates in Charlotte with an impassioned speech criticizing the man who held office before him, Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney talks a lot about all the things he's fixed. I can tell you, Massachusetts was not one of them.
Patrick went on to toss barb after barb at Romney's gubernatorial record, but do the facts check out? Joining us now, complete with deer stalker and magnifying glass, is Callum Borchers, political correspondent for the Boston Globe. Good to have you back, Callum.
Glad to be here. Got my lens ready.
Good. So let's train that lens on one of the first things that Governor Patrick said about former Governor Mitt Romney and his administration, and that is a claim about economic competitiveness. Let's listen.
In Massachusetts, we know Mitt Romney. By the time he left office, Massachusetts was 47th in the nation in job creation during better economic times, and household income in our state was declining.
So, Callum, we've talked about on this show with you this claim about being 47th in the nation in terms of job creation. Let's go over that once again briefly. Does it check out?
Yeah, it does. But sort of the theme of some of the facts and figures that Governor Patrick laid out is just sort of using a selective window of time. So when it comes down to that claim of 47th out of 50 in job creation, it's true if you look at the entire four-year period that Mitt Romney was in office. So in other words, you take a look at from his first year in 2003 until his last full year in 2006, what was our percentage of job growth over that period? How did it stack up across the rest of the country? And you get 47 out of 50. True enough. The Romney campaign would counter, however, that at the time he took over, the state was actually losing jobs, and that in the first year he was in office, we actually were dead last in the entire country, including the District of Columbia, by the way, in job growth. But by the end, in his fourth and final year, we were back up to maybe the middle of the pack, around 30th or so. So they say that that's more like a turnaround, and while the entire picture of 4 years isn't fantastic, it's not entirely accurate to say that at the moment that he left, we were 47th out of 50.
It remains a favorite Democratic talking point in this election cycle,
certainly
though. But, I mean, I noticed today that the Washington Post says, hey, you should never really even blame or grant favor to a governor for improving jobs or the economy anyway. But nevertheless, Governor Deval Patrick continued to do that last night when he made this comment about the business climate in Massachusetts during the Romney administration.
Roads and bridges were crumbling, business taxes were up, and business confidence was down.
So, Callum, Governor Patrick sort of putting infrastructure and business taxes together there, but how much does that check out?
Well, the business taxes is sort of interesting. What it comes down to is closing some loopholes, is what Romney called it at the time. And what it amounted to was, I'll give you an example, a bank, for instance, before Romney was in office, they could take some of their holdings and put them in what was called a real estate investment trust to sort of shelter it from taxes. He closed that loophole. And the result of closing all of these loopholes was about $15 million extra dollars in tax revenue for the state. So in that sense, you could certainly say the taxes went up on businesses. But those were sort of selective, and on the whole, it would be hard to say that more broadly business taxes went up.
Interesting. I covered for quite a while transportation for WBUR, and indeed, roads and bridges crumbling across Massachusetts, but it's not like the state was unique in that across the country either.
That's exactly right, and it's still an issue to this day. For instance, we've seen Elizabeth Warren, for instance, stressing the need to improve our state infrastructure, actually across the rest of the country as well, in some of her campaign ads. So it remains an issue, something that is a little bit hard to quantify.
So let's move on to another claim Governor Patrick made about education spending during the Romney administration in Massachusetts.
He cut education deeper than anywhere else in America.
Callum, does that check out? That seems to be kind of a new claim here.
It is sort of a new one, and again, it's sort of about the window of time that you choose to look at. So Romney will tell you that when he got into office, we were facing a looming $3 billion budget deficit, and so to close that gap, he used a combination of increased revenue and cut spending, and among the things that he did cut was aid to cities and towns, and that included their aid for schools. Over the first 2 years in his office, state aid for schools went down by about 4%, so if that's the window of time that you choose to look at, it's true. He did indeed cut state spending on education. But in the second 2 years of his term as governor, spending on schools went right back up. And so by the end, if you looked at the first year versus the last year, you would see a net gain from about $4.2 billion to about $4.7 billion by the end, all about the frame of time that you choose to look at.
Callum, my last question to you has to go to the tone Governor Patrick took last night. Yesterday on our program, Susan Tracy, our Democratic analyst, said that Governor Patrick's measured tone, his sort of characteristic stay above the fray MO, is one of the things that distinguishes him as a politician. That's not the Patrick we saw last night. He was fighting up there. I mean, what did you make about his speech overall?
You're absolutely right. It struck me as well. And as someone who has watched him closely as a prominent surrogate for the president this campaign, I can tell you he is typically a very cool customer. But most of what we've seen him in, though, Meghna, is in these sort of one-on-one interview formats on Meet the Press or on CNN or something like that. And he maintains a very calm demeanor. This was a different Patrick. He was fired up. He came out. That was his first line. Are you fired up? Are you ready to go? This was him in a different venue. And one observation, I haven't been down there, but folks who have made this observation that the stage at the Democratic convention is larger than at the Republican convention, and the podium is set farther back from the audience than the Republicans were. And the theory is that that sort of caused some of the speakers to feel like they need to shout so they can be heard in the larger hall, something Republicans didn't contend with a week ago.
Well, nevertheless, we started off with a nod to the world's most famous detective, so let's close with that. The game is most certainly afoot, Callum, is it not?
It is.
Callum Borchers is the political correspondent for the Boston Globe and a Radio Boston regular. Thanks so much, Callum.
Glad to be here.
Still to come on our program, 4 out of 5 Americans live in a metropolitan area. So why has the urban agenda confronting poverty, homelessness, violence, and the importance of big cities been put on the back burner of presidential politics? I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.